The scripture reading today is from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11, from the Common English Bible. Paul wrote to the Corinthians to offer guidance, teaching, and encouragement. He writes, "Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and in which you stand. You are being saved through it, if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believe it for nothing. I passed on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose on the third day in line with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me, as if I were born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle, because I harassed God's church. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace hasn't been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the gospel reading. It is from Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. This is also from the Common English Bible. Jesus is calling his first disciples. One day, Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, "Row out farther, into the deep water, and drop your nets for a catch." Simon replied, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll drop the nets." So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so huge that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Leave me, Lord, for I'm a sinner." Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Peace be with you, everyone. I'd like to share with you a Christmas miracle that my family and I have experienced recently during the Christmas season in 2024. This is the first time sharing with you about my miracle story. One day in mid-December, our family dog named Happy somehow got sick. Happy is a healthy 4-year-old terrier and chihuahua mix, medium size, very active and loyal. Normally, whenever he becomes sick, he used to take care of himself through self-quarantine and self-healing in the backyard. But this time, his situation was much different from different than before. His condition was getting worse and worse. His illness symptoms were horrible, such as having bloody diarrhea, shaking, panting, vomiting, wimping, not eating, not being active, and many other unusual behaviors. Yes, he was suffering miserably. So we took him to an animal emergency center on Saturday night. However, we had to wait for over 4 hours from 11 p.m. till 3 a.m. to see a doctor. There were so many people with their sick pets waiting. There were so many sick animals ahead of us that required emergency surgeries, and there was only one animal doctor working that night. It was already past 3 a.m., and we could not wait any longer. The next day was Sunday. You know, I'm supposed to preach, right? At the church, obviously. So we came home then after Saturday. We took the dog first thing on Monday morning to the nearby animal clinic where we used to go for our previous dogs. The animal doctor checked and tested our dog. Then he told us that our dog is suffering from a complication of several medical problems. One of the major and severe problems is HGE. It stands for hemorrhagic gastroenteritis. With this disease, if not treated properly and in time, it could be fatal. The doctor said, your dog needs hospitalization for more tests and treatment for at least a week. And my clinic is too small to take care of your dog, so we need to take him to a bigger animal hospital in Ontario or some other locations. And doctor added, please beware that the estimated cost could be a few thousand dollars or more, and unfortunately, your dog's cure is not guaranteed. My wife and I suddenly remember that about 30 years ago, when living in Pasadena, we had a dog named Joy, a miniature schnauzer who suddenly became sick due to an unknown virus and died in just a few days. Even though he was tested and treated by a team of veterinarians in a big hospital in Pasadena, at that time, sadly, he died suddenly, leaving us over a couple thousand dollars of credit card debt. Yes, it was one of those heartbreaking and sad memories my wife and I were having. Anyhow, to make a long story short, we did not want to go through another traumatic experience, plus we could not afford the treatment, which was not even guaranteed. So because we had adopted our Happy from a county animal shelter, we decided to return the dog to the same shelter, for we did not want him to suffer any longer. The worst scenario could be our dog to be euthanized peacefully, and this case might be the best way for the dog and my family. At the shelter, one of the vets examined our dog's critical condition, then took him in, saying, sorry for your loss. It was a heartbreaking situation for us. We all said goodbye to Happy, who brought us happiness to our family, even though it was only a few years. So at that time, we signed the papers that we surrendered our dog back to the animal shelter, and we thought that was it, a sad ending. Yet, we prayed to God for our dog's best. However, next day, I got a call from the shelter. A staff told me that another animal doctor who was working for the county shelter volunteered to save our dog, Happy, despite multiple severe medical conditions. The staff asked me if the dog gets well, would we want to take him back home? Oh yeah, of course, was the our immediate answer. Then a week later, on the last day of December, the shelter called me to inform me that Happy is now completely cured and ready to be picked up. Wow, hallelujah. We rushed to the shelter to pick him up while we were waiting in the checkup room. The doctor brought Happy out to us. We were so delighted to have Happy back and to meet the doctor who cured our dog. She was telling us that Happy is now doing very well. Everything is normal. Happy became healthy and strong again. The doctor and we agreed and witnessed that Happy is now happier. We are indeed happier than ever. Later, when we received an invoice from the animal shelter, we were expecting that they would charge us over a week's boarding care. However, surprise, on the bill, the payment due amount was zero. The doctor took care of our dog's case and waived all our costs and expenses. Amazing and grateful. She was a God-sent heavenly angel to us. We call this our family's Christmas miracle. When our dog was gravely ill and in a death and life situation, and when my family and I became hopeless about the dog and even gave up everything, nonetheless, one person made a huge difference. By the grace of God, one person's goodness and kindness led to a miracle for my family. This doctor had never known me or my family, and we had never met her before. And I didn't know anything about her background, such as faith or religion or anything. But we did know that she graciously cared for the dog's life, doing her best to go an extra mile to take care of Happy so that she could that our Happy could continue living with the family. I have shared this story with you because this morning I would like to talk about the second rule of John Wesley's three simple rules, especially do good. The second rule, do good. I believe my story would be one of the best illustrations for doing good. It took only one person's heart, one person's determination, and one person's love in action created a joy to many people, including my own family, not to mention the dog's new life that is also God's precious creation. I'm sure she must have done so many other good deeds for many other people, at least in Riverside County. Of course, she happened to be a professional veterinarian, and in her given skill, power, and authority, she pursued doing good to help the animals and the public. But as a matter of fact, besides this doctor, anyone and everyone can do good for others as well. Doing good is a universal virtue, regardless of religions, cultures, and all other differences. Initially, it takes your loving heart in doing good for other people and all God's creation. Thus, my first insight on this second rule, do good, is your loving heart compels you to do good. We Christians, especially as United Methodists, are called to do good. And yes, as faithful followers of Jesus, we commit ourselves to do good, in the community and in the world in any way we can by doing our best. However, in many times, we are overwhelmed by so many challenges and disruptions that keep us from doing good for others, because we might be and can be too busy dealing with our own cares, worries, anxieties, to even think about or take care of other people by doing good. Yes, it is a stark reality. But if you try to find free time, spare time, or any extra time to do good for others, you would never be able to find any perfect time or chance, because you are already preoccupied with your own businesses and your own schedules. In this sense, John Wesley's simple do good rule can be a crucial reminder for us to re-examine our life priorities. In the gospel text from Luke 5, we read Jesus calling his first disciples. When the disciples encounter with Jesus, Lord and Master, they believe in him, know Jesus is the one they can follow for the rest of their lives, and finally, they follow him no matter what. The last verse 11 shows everything about their commitment and dedication as new disciples. As soon as they brought the boat to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Yes, in this case, literally, they left everything and followed Jesus. They realized that from now on, they are on a new direction in their lives to do good for God and for people. Their burning heart compelled them to follow Jesus. And yes, I know you cannot possibly abandon everything literally and follow Jesus today. Of course not, right? You have so many responsibilities, so many accountabilities, and so many unfinished businesses in your busy life. However, your loving heart in Christ compels you to follow Jesus by doing good for others. Your loving heart can motivate you, guide you, and lead you to do good, even in the midst of your own chaotic and unpredictable times. As long as your heart is well tuned in with God's heart, no matter what kind of afflictions you go through, God always consoles you. The psalmist writes in Psalm 37, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the Lord, in the land." This verse encourages people to trust in God by living righteously and doing good. This is what God's people must do every day and always do good. Apostle Paul boldly proclaims in 2 Corinthians, "Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God." Furthermore, doing good is not limited to helping other people, strangers, but also includes your own family, friends, and even yourself. Again, Apostle Paul urges us in Galatians chapter 6, "Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then, let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. Yes, your loving heart compels you to do good. And your loving heart is based on your loving relationship with God through your faith. Let us remember that the first disciples of Jesus responded boldly and courageously to the call of Jesus, "Follow me," for they loved God and they loved Jesus. After Easter, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon Peter, do you love me?" Peter answers, "Yes, I love you, Lord." Then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." How many times? Three times. Yes, it is recorded in John 21. Number three in the Bible means completeness and divine wholeness, like Trinity. It's a God's perfect number, which means one of the most important things in your faith journey. So this Q&A session between Jesus and Peter affirms that your loving heart, based on your loving relationship, compels you to commit yourself in doing good through your ministries and through your entire life. And this morning, Jesus is asking you and me, do you love me? And we confess, yes, we love you, Lord. And Jesus' expected response would be, feed my sheep. And in my interpretation, it can also mean, do good for everyone. Yes, your loving heart compels you to do good. And I will be sharing with you the other two insights on do good next Sunday. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.